The Homecast Show. The Upside to Downtimes with Danny Lemos, Liz Fulton, Jeff Kaufman, and the world-famous Tom Murphy.
Here we are to save the day, to use the words of the famous Tom Murphy. And we are all gathered from all across the state of California, connected on Skype with the other 15,109,807 people who share the track with Liz Fulton and me and Tom and Jeff. My name is Danny Lemos, down here at the Mothership in Long Beach, California. And today I've got something free for your weekend. I hope you have time. And also, Starbucks, is it up? Is it down? Is it up? Is it down? We'll tell you coming up on the show, Liz.
And I'm Liz Fulton, way up here on California's northern coast, Humboldt County to be exact. How about this? Iran wants to get in on gaming. Oh, that's a scary thought. I'll tell you where they're at with that.
Okay.
Jeff?
Well, Liz, I'm Jeff Kaufman in Hollywood. Okay, listen to this list. A busy signal, Polaroids, answering machines, floppy disks, phone book, punctuation. What do they all have in common? They're all becoming obsolete and disappearing. So as I pass further out of warranty tomorrow, I'll mark my birthday today with the roll call of stuff from our lives that's headed for the dustbin of history. And now, because we were smart enough to pay for the extended warranty on him, here's the world-famous Tom Murphy.
Thank you so much, and I've needed that this year, too.
I bet.
Can Viagra, in addition to the more than longer than 4 hours danger, also be contributing to undermining pension systems? Well, we'll find out if I remember to do this story as the show goes along.
I'm not sure we'll get into it. But first today, let's find out.
We're having problems with communications last week. We told you about one situation that is being formulated to address that problem. It's cyber organizing seniors, a project so that they can get in touch with their lawmakers.
Cindy Denbo is the executive director of our Humboldt County Area 1 Agency on Aging. And Cindy, I'm so glad you could join us today. I caught you on the Channel 3 News a couple of days ago talking about a fabulous new project that you guys are putting together for those who still don't use computers.
I know, yeah, and there's a significant number of people, as we know, who don't use computers. Of course, with the Area 1 Agency on Aging, we are working with seniors more than any other group, also with boomers. A lot of boomers are just on the cusp of seniorness, you know, fighting it as hard as we can frequently. I say that as a proud boomer, but,
it
is inevitable.
How did it come to your attention that there was a need there?
A little background, 2 months ago when Sacramento was thrashing out the state budget, the budget conference committees were holding hearings. The governor was working up a series of proposals. We had a lot of people that were testifying to those budget committees and subcommittees. And here in Humboldt County, Del Norte County, and I suspect other counties throughout California, we were finding that our senior population, which was really going to bear, was going to have their lives significantly impacted by whatever decisions were made in Sacramento, were unable to communicate with people in Sacramento.
Uh-huh. When we investigated, and so you came up with this fabulous idea. Tell us about it.
Well, we did. What we found was people who, and it's, we kind of get this intuitively, boomers are all over the Internet. I mean, when we are 75, 80, 85, we will be people will be hearing from us on the Internet, and are certainly now. But as for our seniors, they didn't use fax machines in their work time. They didn't use email. They didn't go to websites. And they are not adapting particularly well if you're 80 years old and someone tells you to send fax. Probably not happening. So we decided to help those voices be heard. And we are in the process of developing our project for senior action.
Okay, now that involves people on two sides of the coin. You're looking for volunteers to help out with the actual meat of the project. So basically, somebody wants to use that service. How would it work?
Okay, we're going to roll this out October 1 with a cadre of about a dozen trained volunteers. We have a site here at the Area 1 Agency on Aging building, which is in Eureka. And they are going to be in their downtime, if there is such a thing, going to be compiling a directory. Now, there's lots of directories out there. I'm a former librarian, and boy, I know.
Oh, me too.
Are you?
Yeah.
Seriously. How How many years were you a librarian?
All through school. I put myself school working at the library.
Well, there you are. I was a librarian for 29 years.
Wow.
And I do know directories. I know how to find them. I know how useful they are. But what we found was when we were calling Sacramento, we were being told, oh, fax, tell your guys to fax information. And then we were told, tell them to fax it in the middle of the night because our fax machines are jammed. And then we were told, well, we prefer an email, we prefer a voicemail, we prefer that you go to our website, cut and paste a message, send it on down. Our senior population was essentially, and we are 18%, our seniors are 18% of the Humboldt County population, which is higher than the state average, which is higher than the national average. We found that our guys were being frozen out of the conversation. So what we will do, phase one of our project for senior action, is anyone who wishes to telephone us, we'll get a real person on the phone, dictate a message. It can be about anything. We are resolutely nonpartisan, so mm-hmm. we will not affect the content of the message, but we will see that that message is sent in the appropriate way to whomever, our senior or boomer or whoever wishes to communicate to Sacramento, City Hall, County Seat, or Washington. We'll see that that message gets delivered.
Wow, that's great.
That is fantastic. That kind of reminds me of the day of the all-in-one printing shop. What was that, where you could go in there and even do your job phone interviews from there?
Yeah.
So are you going to be looking for volunteers in any specific areas, or can anybody who is familiar with the computer and the system help you out? What kind of people are you looking for to man these positions and then have the responsibility of getting the message through?
We're looking for people who work well with others, who are, I hate to use the cliche, people, but have patience in dealing with people of different generations who can effectively use a fax machine and the Internet and can take down a dictated message in a strictly nonpartisan way and have it communicated in Sacramento or Washington or wherever. That is actually the first part of what we will be doing. We're also going to be hiring a half-time project coordinator who will go out into the community, make presentations, develop printed materials. One form of communication that people who are 75 and 80 years old, they're still reading newspapers.
That's right.
They're reading. They are holding paper in their hands and they are reading the content. And so we will be trying to reach them in that way as well. We're also going to be, and apart from developing this directory that says, okay, my congressman is reachable by phone, by fax, by email, by website, and by letter. We're going to make a call to every one of those offices and say, you have five ways listed to communicate with you. Which do you prefer?
Cool. So we take such good care of people like you and me up here in Humboldt County. I am so thrilled with this. In fact, Danny, when I told him about the project, actually thought about just setting up a little station there in the studio in Long Beach.
Hey,
there
I could go down
go.
On the boardwalk down in Long Beach here and just open my laptop and put a sign, the doctor is in. Send your faculty.
Absolutely. Just say,
well,
I will be your voice.
Get back with you anytime you have any kind of information or news like this. We're glad to make ourselves available to you, but I'm curious to see how this project runs, because I just got involved with computers myself just a couple of years ago, so I'm a novice as well, and boy, I sure would have appreciated some help like that when I was getting started.
Today's technology, you know, the different formats we have, the sophistication, the constant changing, you're tweeting one day, you're tweetering the next, you're Facebooking another, that level of sophistication of technology has pretty much frozen a significant portion of our population in this state or in the country out of the conversation. And it's, you know, our seniors and boomers especially. Now, boomers are all over this, of course, mm-hmm. but they're trying to help their parents. I know when I think of my dad, I think of him back in the den. He had two big screen TVs, and one of them was on sports and one of them was on politics all the time. He had a stack of newspapers, and he would be sitting in his chair with his glasses on his nose processing three different ways information. He also had a computer sitting in the corner, but he never touched it.
I love it. All
and
right,
there you
well,
are.
Cindy, our Area 1 Agency on Aging in Humboldt County is going to help take care of that problem, and we'll definitely be speaking with you again in the fall. Thank you so much for your time.
Thank you. I really appreciate the opportunity to discuss this with you.
Is this just a local program, or is it spread out, or do you know of any other resources in the state?
You know, we don't. And doing the research for this, the Area 1 Agency on Aging, and isn't that a mouthful, and doesn't it really not communicate at all what you'd like it to? You know, when we talk about area, I we are so crippled in a way by our name. Area means nothing. One, better than two, I guess, but, you know, still not that helpful. Agency, nobody cares, and aging, nobody wants to hear about it.
A sort of a model for other projects like that.
That's what we're hoping. This is a project funded by the California Endowment. So we're hoping that this will be a model for other counties.
Is there a place where people can find information, a website?
Well, we suggest they give us a call. Again, we're trying to reach people who aren't really that adept at finding websites. So our number is 707-442-3763, and we are first in the phone book, Area 1, Agency on Aging.
Lots of
aging.
That's probably the reason.
And because we have both sides of the coin covered here, you know, if you go to that program and you get a little addicted to it, Tom Murphy has a place where you can get that addiction cured. Isn't that right, Tom?
I do indeed. Are you spending wakeless hours trying to master World of Warcraft? Would you rather send a friend a text message than meet in person? Do you sometimes fall asleep at the keyboard? If you answered yes to any of those questions, you probably have an internet addiction. Now there is help. The Restart Internet Addiction Recovery Program, a first of its kind in the U.S., and this is the ironic part, they opened their doors about a mile or two away from Microsoft's headquarters up in the state of Washington. Anyway, a lot of folks go in for cocaine or booze. The creators of Restart say internet addiction is a growing problem. It's a 45-day program. It costs $14,500.
Wow.
And it's designed specifically to help internet and video game addicts overcome their dependence on gaming, gambling, chatting, texting, and other aspects of internet addiction. So there. So I suppose we'll be sued very shortly from some poor slob trying to check in, you know, internet addiction thing, thanks to that last thing you guys did.
You know what?
I wasn't a part of that, by the way.
I know.
Thank you for representing this book.
I'd love to go stand outside and see who's there, like who's in line going in. Wouldn't it be wild?
They actually did interview one kid from Iowa whose folks sent him out to that, and he was 19 years old, and all he did was play, World of War.
Right. Well, I'm just glad that we don't live in China, because
exactly.
There have been two incidences now of where young people have been literally beaten to death going through those retraining camps, they call them.
I saw that.
Well, that saved the 14-5.
The Homecast Show, the upside to downtimes with Danny Lemos, Liz Fulton, Jeff Kaufman, and the world-famous Tom Murphy.
I'm Jeff Kaufman in Hollywood. You remember that credit card reform bill the President, Congress, and the banks fought over earlier this year? You know, the one that was supposed to protect us from high interest rates and unfair fees?
Mm-hmm.
Well, phase one goes into effect tomorrow, so how come the rates are going up?
We'll get into that in just a second. In the meantime, we talked about it the other day on the show, and it was about a water ambassador program that I found. I went to a concert in the park here in Long Beach and picked up a flyer, and the subject really interested me. So I got a young lady on the phone, Melissa Keys, and she's with
the Long Beach Water Department.
Oh,
yes, I'm the Special Projects Coordinator.
Well, Melissa, tell us some more about this program. It sounds so interesting. I know that I've walked around the block, and I'm a conservationist here. We try to keep ourselves within the guidelines that y'all put out. And occasionally we'll see runoff, and we'll see people who are watering on the wrong days, washing their cars, washing down the sidewalks. And now there's something you can do if you'd like to make a difference rather than just complain about it, right?
Absolutely. We actually have a water ambassador program. And we have a group of seniors, they're 55 and older, that actually go out and are our front lines to the civic events and helping to spread the word about conservation.
Well, we love it, because 55 plus is what we are all about here. I've seen them out there, actually, and do they go through a program, or how do they become educated themselves?
This is the best part about it. There is absolutely no water experience required with us. We want people that want to go out and make a difference. They make a huge difference for us. We've actually had this group for 10 years now, and the amount of effort that they put in on a weekly basis is amazing to me. They go out and, speak. We do educational classes, so we go teaching in classrooms. We also do civic events, that type of thing. But they're taught in the beginning about water. We provide them with a number of informational pieces on where our water comes from. But they're also not required to have the technical answers. That's why we give business cards out. We would much rather have them talk to the staff to get the exact information. If they have questions on something specific, they give them our card, say you can call them, or they take the number and they give me the information, and we'll go ahead and give the person a call.
You know, occasionally we hear that water is becoming less and less of a problem, like after a rain or something. That's not simply the case, right?
No, that is not the case. Not in Long Beach. Long Beach, it really makes no difference to us if it rains, except other than the fact that you may not have to put your sprinklers on.
Right.
You know, we get all of our water from from the Colorado River and from the Northern California, so we rely mainly on the snowpack. We do have underground aquifers here in Long Beach where we get about 40% of our water. However, that water actually comes from the base of the foothill mountains, so it's got a little distance before it gets over here.
What do you think is the number one violation that people are just not conscious of?
There are actually a couple, I think. Well, the number one, obviously the number one waste is watering your landscape. People don't realize that if you overwater your landscape and it runs down into the gutter or whatnot out into the street, that's a violation.
Yeah.
You're not allowed to overwater, but people just either don't want to or find it difficult to meet the watering restrictions, which are Mondays, Thursdays, and Saturdays before 9 and after 4.
We're going to dig up the yard starting Saturday. We're going to start putting in a xeriscape.
Oh, that's wonderful.
We let it die. We just didn't water the grass for a while. Now it's brittle and ready to take up with a couple of shovels. And because we want to reduce water consumption and also do something for us here because we can grow vegetables out there.
Absolutely. There are so many varieties of California. It doesn't actually have to be a California friendly. It could be a California native. But California friendly is a plant that didn't necessarily begin here but does well in this climate. And the possibilities are endless. In fact, we've just given away and completed nine free front yard landscapes.
Wow.
That was a contest, and the landscapes are now done.
Oh, great.
And so we will be highlighting those on our webpage shortly.
Oh, can we connect to yours?
Absolutely.
Tell you what, you have an open channel here for any information, especially a workshop on anything to help improve the home environment. We're all about that here at Homecast Show.
Oh, well, that's great. You know, we actually do have free landscaping classes coming up. And this is, we have two different classes. One is about learning about the plants and how to properly use and select and the different types of thing. And then the other one is actually for irrigation.
I will be at the one about plants. When is it? We're just about ready for that stage here.
Okay, well then your best bet would be to sign up.
Okay.
It's free of charge, and I can give you the number. It's 562-570-2300.
Terrific.
And you just call and tell them you want to sign up for the free landscaping classes. It runs from like about 9 to 12 on a Saturday.
Ooh, we will definitely be there. We're, like I said, we're, you know, new at it, so love some tips.
Yeah, this is a great class. It really is. And the fact that it's free, can't beat that.
Yay, we're all about free at the Homecast Show.
I will definitely be there with my notepad to take notes on those California native plants. Want to know all about those suckers, that's for sure. You know, they're going to be putting this thing on Saturday, and we're going to be starting here down in Long Beach to get ourselves that.
Hey, Danny.
That xeriscape. Yes, sir.
Isn't a California native a Mexican? What do you do, plant 4 or 5 of them out in the front yard?
You're probably right.
I've got a solution for the water ambassador. Yeah. If he shows up at my place, I'm going to hose him down. Off my property.
Oh, you would, wouldn't you?
Hell yes, I would. Just not because I don't believe in water conservation. I just.
But it would be fun.
It would be fun, and I don't want to be bothered.
Yeah, you know? It's like a busybody's. Mind your own business.
Hi, this is Howie Mandel, and usually my question is deal or no deal. But on the Homecast Show today, the question is, deal or raw deal?
And this would be
raw deal.
It's the weekend, and we feel obligated to prepare you for the barbecue, for the cocktail party, world famous.
Well, every day, this one is a couple of years old, so I thought it was kind of funny. As I mentioned, the first novel ever written on a typewriter was Tom Sawyer. Mm. The San Francisco cable cars are the only mobile national monuments. And this is the one that doesn't work anymore. Every day, more money is printed for Monopoly than the U.S. Treasury. Well, of course, that stopped here about 6 months ago.
on inauguration day, right?
Yeah, and finally, I have a factoid from Dave Barry, whom I dearly love. If a woman has to choose between catching a fly ball and saving an infant's life, she will choose to save the infant's life. Without even considering if there's a man on base. He is so great.
Big weekend this weekend, of course. This is the weekend in 2004 that pop singer Britney Spears married Kevin Federline, her fiancé at the time. In a surprise.
Who probably gets a bunch of money in child support. Oops, did I say that?
You remember the big wedding with the white sweats and all, and the names on the back of their jackets. 20 to 30 people attended, and the ceremony lasted about 5 minutes, and it was her second marriage in 5 months. This is the weekend that Frank Sinatra passed away, if you remember that, in 1998.
Has he been gone for 11 years?
Yeah, he was 82, he would have been what, 93 today, wow.
Wow.
Yeah, he was out of the public eye since a heart attack the year before, 97 he had one, but he died on this weekend in Cedars-Sinai Hospital here in Los Angeles.
I got a chance to see him when we went to Super Bowl back in the 80s.
Never did.
One of the highlights of my life.
That would have been one of mine, too. I'm a big fan.
I saw him in Chicago. Now, you talk about... Whoa. Seeing Sinatra in the right city.
Yeah.
Oh,
it was Chicago.
Awesome. What year was that?
Let me see. That had to be 74. Yeah.
1974.
I saw him out here at the Universal Amphitheater before they covered it. Mm. And it rained.
I remember that.
And they had to stop the show because they didn't want old Frank to get electrocuted.
Yes. I remember that. Well, speaking of things that are going by the wayside, getting obsolete, perhaps us four, but maybe you and maybe things that you know about. Jeff has some stuff today. Pretty interesting stuff, actually.
Yeah, you know, I actually didn't think of that. You make a good point that perhaps we should be on this list.
Yeah, I know I am.
The four of us are on this list of things that are on their way out.
This is
a list that the magazine Computer World made up, and it's not just technology. It's all kinds of stuff in our lives that's on the way out, and I think you can really tell what generation you're from or what when you felt comfortable about your adulthood by what's your reaction to what's on this list.
Okay.
So here from number 40 to number 1 are some of the things that are leaving our lives. Number 40, giving someone your undivided attention during a social interaction.
You're right.
Well, that's okay unless you're looking at the door to see if somebody more important and interesting is coming through.
Or at a party, have you ever done this? You're at a party and you're talking to someone and you can tell that they're looking over your shoulder to scope out if there's anybody more interesting. Number 39, rocking out with your boombox. Does anybody do that anymore?
No.
Sending documents via fax is number 38. Number 37, this you can really tell how old you are, using carbon paper. My nephew and niece will grow up not even knowing what that is.
Right.
Well, if they sew, they will, because you do use a kind of a carbon paper when you're mapping out your patterns. So.
Oh, good point, good point.
Yeah, okay.
Looking up numbers in the phone book.
I don't even have a phone book.
Getting an AOL disc or CD in the mail.
Oh.
Getting the mail. Going to the local music store to check out the CDs. Playing music on a cassette player.
Oh,
sitting in front of a cathode ray tube. Everybody has flat screens now.
Right.
Flipping on an incandescent light bulb. We still do that, although in a year or so, they're going to be against the law to sell. You'll have to get those compact fluorescents.
Wild.
But there's something that was a winner.
Exactly. lighting your cigarette with a cigarette lighter in your car. Do cars even come with those anymore?
No, they don't.
For your recharger units.
Yeah, yeah.
Using proper grammar and punctuation.
Oh, this is a sad one.
Yeah, it's a sad one
for me, too, and you know, we're writers here. All of us are writers. So I don't know about you guys, but I refuse to do that whole lowercase on the internet thing where people write I in lowercase and they write your as you are, even if they're not texting.
Well, I came up with me today. I didn't know quite how to punctuate all we'd up.
Is that a or hyphen? I can't tell. Watching a laser disc, holding up your Bic lighter at a concert, putting in a videotape to watch a movie, having your mobile phone attached to your car, typing on a word processor, booting up your computer to a C prompt, storing data on a floppy disk. I'm going to skip some here. Enjoying complete privacy is number 16. That's apparently on the
list.
I guess if you have a Facebook page and a MySpace page and a Twitter account, everybody knows everything about you, right?
Yeah, remember when the only place you could get private was in your car?
Oh, yes. Yeah, I've spent a lot of time call in there.
Yeah. Now, the satellite can beam right into your lap there, so you might want to watch what is going on in your
there's
lap.
There's no privacy.
Have you guys seen Google Street View?
Yes, as a matter of fact.
Okay.
Oh, yeah,
if you're sitting by the window reading something, they can take a picture and, you know, you're immortalized forever, whatever that is you're reading. So don't read your dirty magazines by the living room window.
Good idea. That's all.
Well, nice timing there, Jeff. Yeah.
That's wild. Yeah, on the Street View here, we have Coco out in the front yard that they took.
Oh, cool. Yeah,
really, on mine, they have they took the picture before I replaced my garage door, so it has dents in it, and it has my old car parked in front.
Well, that's
mine has before we had to repair the house, you know, after the earthquake, so it doesn't look nearly as cool as it does now, you know. So.
Here are the top 12 things that are becoming obsolete. Number 12, typing on a typewriter, waiting to get photos developed, shooting Polaroids. Number 9, hearing the sound of a modem connecting. Remember that?
Yeah.
That horrible thing. Number 8, getting fuzzy TV reception. Number 7, paying for long distance.
Oh, boy. We go through that one yesterday here on the show, huh?
Yeah, if you're still paying for long distance, we'll have some advice for you on Monday's show.
Yeah, that's cool.
Number 6, chatting with the SysOp. Does anybody know what that is?
No.
What?
SYSOP, the SysOp, system operator. That's your IT.
No, team didn't know that one. That's
number 5, needing to be 18 years old to have access to porn. That is obsolete. Number 4, going on a blind date.
Oh, it's robbing life of some of the best things. Like when you go to buy porn and you're like 14 and you have to buy 40 other magazines and slip it right in the middle.
Yeah, and nobody goes on a blind date anymore because everybody Googles the other person.
Exactly.
You know? Number 3, getting a busy signal. Although, if you call my mom, you'll get a busy signal.
Mine too. It's amazing.
She's still on the phone a lot.
Yeah, well, she doesn't believe in call waiting, and she also doesn't believe in caller ID.
which
is a good thing because she doesn't know that I look at the caller ID. Number 2, running out of hard drive space.
Oh, wow.
And the number 1 thing that is becoming obsolete, playing video games at an arcade.
Oh, my God. Well, it still goes on down here at the big on the Pike. They have this big game place where you can go.
Yeah, but
GameWorks.
Nobody's playing the games. They're just selling drugs in there.
I don't know. I didn't go. I wouldn't know. Let's move on to the most important news of the morning, and that is Viagra undermining our pension programs? Stepping on up for famous.
Actually, it isn't ours. It's a story out of Brazil, which makes it even more fun. There's a widespread tendency in Brazil for men to marry women several decades younger than them, and it's being called the Viagra effect. And they say it's undermining the country's pension system. So some guy who's, you know, near 70 and, you know, nibbling Viagra like it was jelly beans or something.
Yeah.
I'd stay away from
him. He passes away. The old lady is like only 30 and she gets.
Oh,
God, what a great pension. Angle. You're absolutely right.
Hey, I think I know somebody in Oroville who did that.
Anyway, there's a lot of, you know, there's a lot of details of the story, but you kind of get the drift
of
it.
That is so awesome.
Like,
I can see
some old
that.
Codger, you know. little Missy, you know, waits for him to buy the ranch. Sort of like Anna Nicole Smith. You know, that's sort of like
I can transform the whole culture. You know, in Mexico, you see those little kids squatting down, chicle, chicle, chicle. Can you imagine the old elderly folks going Viagra, Viagra?
So I think we ought to keep an eye on that. If that's a trend that starts here, you know, we'll have
really.
To.
Yeah, really.
We ought to.
You're listening to the Homecast Show. This is homecastshow.com. You get it?
And it was a big week for credit cards. You may not have been aware about it. Kind of got buried under some of the other news, but Jeff has a story about that.
We do. They had said that most of this credit card reform bill wasn't going to go into effect until 2010, next year, but apparently a little piece of it goes into effect tomorrow, and the banks have been getting ready. I don't know whether you've been shopping for a new credit card lately or whether you've been mailed some of those ads that ask you to sign up, but apparently the people who keep track of these things at BillShrink.com have found that rates have gone up in the last couple of months because the banks are not going to be able to raise rates once this credit card reform bill goes into effect. And you're going to have the chance, once the whole law goes into effect next year, if they propose a rate increase for you as a current customer, you'll have 45 days to reject it. But here's what's happening right now. About 20% higher the rates are right now than they were just last December. And you should know that banks are borrowing money to lend money to you, and their borrowing costs, of course, are going down. We talked about the Federal Reserve keeping the Fed funds interest rate at 0% a couple of days ago.
Right.
The banks are spending less and less for the money they lend to us in the form of loans or credit card balances, and they're charging us more in interest. So that's something to watch out for. There's a website that we can give you called lowcards.com, and you can go on there and check. You can compare about 1,000 credit card offers around the country and find the one that's best for you. Lowcards.com, and we'll put that on our website, homecastshow.com.
I got the message from Chase the other day about my card, and it was going up, and you have the opt-out period. So, of course, I wrote the letter, opted out, said, you know, that's fine. But Jeff brought up a great point last week. Check and see whether or not they're closing your card affects your credit rating. And what I was asked to do was to shoot a letter off to the major credit card reporting systems and say, just send them a letter and certify it and say, I closed this account was closed by my own. Send them a copy of the letter and check back in a couple months. They said to see if it was noted on your account. That's your right. Check it out. Don't just let
Because
go.
Otherwise it's a ding against your credit.
We'll
put the address of the three major credit agencies on homecastshow.com as well.
Thank you for that. So,
yeah, that really sucks.
It really does, man.
They
close it, and then it's your fault for that.
The Homecast Show, your guide to changing times. With Danny Lemos, Liz Fulton, Jeff Kaufman, and the world-famous Tom Murphy.
Other stories today. Iran wants their piece of the pie.
Oh, this really cracked me up. This comes to us from the BBC again. And Iran is actually representatives from the trade body. It's the Iran National Foundation of Computer Games were on hand at a dedicated stand at a Gamescom in Cologne. They were there to showcase their latest games developed in Iran. They want, of course, establish some contacts and see if – can you imagine if Western retailers would stock their games? But, of course, they acknowledge there's a bit of a political situation.
That Death to America game.
They need
go
more
over too
investors.
Well.
I'm not even going to try to pronounce these gentlemen's names because I'll screw it up for sure. But Iran is becoming a leading player in video game development in the Middle East, and so they were using this event to promote that. What they really think they have come up with is something unique. Now, the political difficulties situation in video game development, Iran attracted global media attention in 2007 with the release of Special Operation 85 Hostage Rescue. The game saw two Iranian nuclear scientists kidnapped by Israel with players in the role of Iranian special forces. Oh my God, we're going to have peacekeepers in the gaming world.
Hold on a second. Iran is developing a video game that has Iranians as the hostages?
Yeah.
I think that's backwards.
Yeah, I love it. Talk about rewriting history.
Well, what happened is the people in Iran have never heard about it. It certainly wasn't released there. So the first time they even heard about it was in the international media. And this is an interesting story to me because it shows some progress, I guess, in intellectual development in a country that a lot of us have always, basically put down, not put down, but have not realized that there is a lot of potential there. If they could just quit killing each other.
I guess so. I was kind of checking the story out, too. I maybe have a little different source than you, but one of their biggest games is Kill the Zionists.
Oh, you're kidding me.
Yeah, no. And,
no, they're serious.
Ahmed saws off a head. Yeah. That's a big one for him.
That one has the mature rating.
Still to come on the show, we've got Starbucks. Is it up? Is it down? It's both. We'll tell you why. We've got the author of a great book, Smart Girls Marry Money, and some great tips for some weekend fun. But before we turn to that, all you have heard all week long through all the media is about the healthcare reform debate. And we've debated it here on the show ourselves back and forth all week long. But this weekend, I'd like to point your attention to an eye-opening commentary that ran in the Long Beach Press Telegram. I mentioned it on the show earlier this week, but I'd like to share it with you. This is an RN here at our local hospital, six blocks from where I'm sitting right now. And she wrote about her experience at the Inglewood Free Medical Clinic that happened here in Los Angeles, where thousands showed up for a five-day spree of free health care. And Liz, you have the commentary?
I have the letter. It's from Kathy Crow, who's the registered nurse in the Emergency Preparedness Coordinator for St. Mary Medical Center in Long Beach. And she writes that this week had been an eye-opener for healthcare workers from St. Mary's. They took part at that four-day event at the Inglewood Forum. The staff, nurses, physicians all volunteered to assist at a remote area medical clinic. They didn't know exactly where they were going. Some were worried about civil unrests and crowds of angry patients.
Sure.
When they became healthcare workers, they did it to help people. Well, when the forum doors opened each day, we could not believe our eyes, she says. Thousands of people had lined up, and these were not the homeless, not drug addicts or psychiatric patients. The people we took care of were embarrassed to admit they needed help. The people we did eye exams on and pre-screened for root canals had jobs. They'd lost jobs. They'd lost home. The people that they shook hands with were fellow Americans without health care, people just like you and me. Now, the article is in the Press Telegram, and you can get it at presstelegram.com. But in the final paragraph, she writes, when politicians talk in highbrow terms about health care reform, I wish one of them would step into the forum and see what the real needs of Americans are. Every American deserves health care. It should be part of our American way. Citizens of the wealthiest country in the world should not be embarrassed to ask for health care as if it were a handout.
Right.
It should be a right for all. And that is from Kathy Crow at St. Mary's Medical Center.
I want to get her on the show. She just, like I said,
it was just
superb.
Get her on the show. It'd be very cool. Humbled. And
I love her sentence where she said, when did we get away from being focused on what we have and get away from what we can give?
Well, exactly.
Just a wonderful
I just have one problem with that. When she said the wealthiest nation in the world, we're not. I think that should start to be dropped from
it's Dubai.
Yeah, it really should. Because, but that's no excuse, Tom. I mean, we're far wealthier than, dare I say, Great Britain and Canada, where people actually like their government health care.
We can certainly afford to do this. It's just a question of priorities.
Right,
exactly.
Well, we have also got a new CBS New York Times poll. And it's coming to us from the world-famous Tom Murphy. You've got some new numbers, Tom.
Well, as you know, of course, I'm a huge fan of the New York Times and CBS. So, of course, when something finally came along that, you know, I liked, I immediately said, you know, I will brick no argument with this.
Okay.
It is, after all, the New York Times and CBS.
Okay.
So they did a study on a poll on health care, and 69% believe Obamacare will hurt the quality of their own health care. 73% believe they will have less access to tests and treatment. 62% believe Democrats' proposals will force them to change doctors. 76% believe Obama's changes will mean higher taxes for them. And 77% expect their health care costs to rise. Now, that doesn't mean that any of that's going to happen,
sure.
But it looks as though, you know, the one ain't selling his elixir there, as it were.
And those numbers have been going up. The polls over the last couple of weeks have found those numbers of people who are nervous about this are going up.
Are these was the poll taken? Did it matter whether people were insured or not already?
Well, you never know, Liz. You know,
yeah.
The secret of polls very oftentimes is the way the question is asked.
Right.
Right.
Yeah.
Right, exactly.
Anyway,
I was just curious about that.
Well, I love the information.
That kind of, you know, that kind of takes away the impact of my story, so I'm not going to go into that.
Oh, Tom, no, Tom, please,
but
I'm begging you.
I do have one thing, though. This just came across late this morning, right before the show. The White House has announced today that despite some setbacks, they are determined to continue to get rid of your clunkers by passing their health care plan.
Are they talking about grandma? What are they talking about?
Talking about us.
Jeff.
These clunkers.
How long have we known each other, Jeff?
Too long.
Up, down, which is it? At Starbucks this weekend, prices are going up. It's their best drinks, all the frothy cappuccinos, mocha cappuccino, whatever. They're all going up 5 to 10 cents. But their regular cup of coffee is going to come down 5 cents. So, and obviously it's based on the fact that more people are having frothy drinks than they are having regular cups of coffee. But if you're into having just your coffee, basic there, you're going to get a price drop at Starbucks,
cool.
A price increase if you're into the cream and the heavy stuff. Who knows? Maybe that's their way to fight obesity because those drinks loaded with calories.
Oh, yeah.
I'd be willing to call that an economic indicator.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, here we are spending more money on frothy drinks and we'll need health insurance when they clog our arteries.
Well, I'm sure by then it'll be free. So
yeah, I love it. I hear the resignation in your voice, Tom. I was going to say, we sort of are a cross-section of America here. You want to keep your plan, am I correct? You want to keep your health insurance just the way it is.
25% of the hosts of the Homecast show are pleased with their insurance, which is about the same figure as in America.
Exactly. We are a cross-section.
Actually, that's not true. You're finding that a tremendous amount of people are pleased with it and also with their health care.
Everybody's pleased with their health care. Everybody's pleased with their doctor.
A lot of people are pleased with their insurance, too. This idea that everybody doesn't like their insurance.
I got to say, there are people that I know, and you're one of them, Tom, that is like their health insurance, happy with it.
I have absolutely no complaints whatsoever about mine, but then I'm on that, that government-run health care plan called Medicare.
My question is, why is it so difficult to let people keep what they have and take care of people that don't have? I mean, it seems to me a very simple equation. Of course, I don't run the government. It comes down to, I like the first commandment, right? Take care of your brother, baby.
Mm-hmm.
Take care of your brother. And, there's a lot of confusion about what. I love that nurse that we read here on the show.
Fabulous.
Who's saying it's not the people who are trying to lazy loaf and take your money and have you pay for everything. These are people that are just like you and me. I have to include myself in this situation because, like, my situation left me without health insurance in my 50s. I never thought that was going to be the way it was going to go. You know what I mean? I always thought I'd be employed from the very first job I had up until today. So, and I'm certainly, I don't think you describe me as lazy, man.
No.
So, we work hard.
Well.
And, yeah. Okay, you've seen me from 10
to noon. I would just like to credit my Homecast show intern, Google, being able to come up with these figures. This is a survey that was conducted in 2009, this year, by Deloitte, which is the consulting organization. Mm-hmm. They found that nearly 40% of consumers in America have expressed discontent with the status quo, rating the U.S. healthcare system a D or an F.
Okay.
53% of consumers would like employers to be required to provide health insurance for employees.
I think that's pretty normal.
Try that.
37% favor a mandate requiring every American to obtain health insurance either through direct purchase or through their work program.
Right.
And 65% of consumers are interested in home monitoring devices that enable them to check their condition and send the results to their doctor. So we're becoming more isolated.
Yeah,
we don't want to leave the house for anything.
Well, if you ever waited in a doctor's office, you know why.
Yeah, really. Okay. That's the last place you want to be.
Nearly 40% don't like the way things are.
And 60% do?
And 60% do. That's absolutely right.
There you go. So, I need health insurance. Help!
President Obama says if you like it, you're going to keep it. You know, I can't imagine.
That's bullshit.
Okay, Tom, how are they going to...
Good question.
How do you know, Tom? Tom, how do you know?
Employer insurance, you can't buy it except through public. That's the deal.
Well, okay, now, I have no other options.
Well, that's not the same as having it taken away.
You can't buy it now except through COBRA if you lose your job.
Yeah. But I don't understand how that can be.
Okay.
How do you equate?
I'm just waiting for it to be free because I'm sick and tired of having to make having to actually buy something and take care of myself and take responsibility.
Well, now money comes out of my check every month to pay my portion of Medicare, so I am paying for my health insurance, and I do get. Pardon me?
I said I do too. I'm on Medicare and I've never used it.
Mm-hmm. That's been my sole source of medical attention for the past 10 years, and I have no complaints about that.
How come you've never used it?
Because I have
he's got his union insurance, right?
No, it's actually, we buy it. We just buy
it. Well, I would not be able to do that because of pre-existing conditions and things like that, and I know I'm not alone, and I feel fortunate that I was able to get on Medicare, I don't see anybody taking anything away from me even for a public option.
Well,
I think that's a false argument. I think the complaints that most people have about their health insurance is that it's too complex, that it doesn't cover what they need covered, that that they reject too many claims, that the deductibles have to be too big for you to afford.
One thing called rescission, that wonderful thing where you have had your health insurance for 20 years, you paid into it, and all of a sudden you've got cancer or something like that, and your health insurance company just says, bye-bye.
I just don't know anybody that's in favor of the insurance companies unless they have stock in those companies. And
exactly.
When it comes down to it and you start talking to people who are really in favor of it, you find out that they've invested in those companies. So that's not, again, the way most Americans live.
And I'd like to say just for the record here that although I think the health insurance industry is badly in need of reform, I'm not against them making profits. I mean, we're a capitalist society. They're entitled to make a profit. But if every downtown in America weren't stocked with skyscrapers with insurance companies' names on the top of them, I might feel a little better.
Yeah, no, I tend to agree with you.
That's why it was so important making that difference yesterday, I thought, and I'm hoping that more people start referring it to health insurance reform.
Well, I want to go back to that one point that we made earlier, and which is I don't see that anybody that has their health insurance is going to have it stripped away. I think we're talking about regular Americans who lose their jobs. Then we're starting to talk about people who are in the situation who indeed would need some sort of assistance.
Yep. But that would be true even without health insurance reform. If you lose your job, you're going to lose your insurance.
Right.
Certainly in 24 months after you're no longer eligible for COBRA, which most people can't afford anyway because it's expensive.
What I hear when I get into the tangle is people saying they're going to come, they're going to knock on my door, they're going to take away my insurance policy, and I'm going to be left with whatever everybody else has. And that's not what I'm reading out there.
That's not what I'm
seeing is the actual truth. So I'm hoping that it will be a conversation that will be more revealed in truth. That you can keep your health insurance. That you can keep your health insurance if you want it that way. I mean, to me, I don't know. Maybe I should be in government. Who knows?
Danny.
It'd probably last a week, huh? I like everybody to like me. I'd last a week.
You'd be busy dusting.
Yeah, I'd be cleaning the place up. Oh, wild. Well, summer is the time for a barbecue, and you might be thinking, what could be closer to the core of American life than a barbecue? Well, it might not just be American. Seems barbecues might be a bit more a part of us than we'd like to think.
There's a new word this morning that it was not tools, it was not fire, it was not the wheel that got human evolution going. It was the campfire. It was the barbecue. No kidding. Harvard professor Richard Wrangham wrote a book recently called Catching Fire, How Cooking Made Us Human. And listen to how he argues that evolution is directly a result of the cooking fire, because cooking means food is easier to eat. It's easier to chew. You spend less time preparing to eat and eating. Mm-hmm. And that means that humans have more time to do other things, like, for example, find a more attractive mate.
Or one that can cook.
You're absolutely right in citing the ability to cook. There's two things that the fire also did. Number one, this researcher thinks that cooking led to the creation of the patriarchal system among humans. Because people who had to cook were often women, but they needed protection from bands of young men who were roaming around and would steal the food.
Looking for a burger.
Exactly. And so the woman would pair up with a man who
could defend. A big hunky guy,
And all of a sudden now you have the elements of a family. It's a really interesting story that's excerpted on Bloomberg.com. But I mean, of all the things that kicked off human evolution, I'm not sure I'm ready for lighter fluid and a barbecue.
I can see it though, because it creates that feeling of just the aspect of sitting around a campfire has always been really special for people who are into that kind of
drug
thing.
Guys
and after dinner, when they all sat around the campfire, you know what that led to?
Oh yeah.
Viagra.
Some moron getting out a guitar and singing Kumbaya.
It led directly to American Top 40.
Bravo!
Jason has what? Fire to thank for his career.
That's exactly right.
Well, we might have zombies to thank for our virtual destruction. What's going on with this story?
This is the weirdest story. I saw the headline on BBC, and it says, Science Ponders Zombie Attack.
Okay,
now, they're actually going by the mythological data on zombies, and it's the conclusion of a mathematical exercise that's being carried out in Canada. The frequent counterattacks with increasing force could eradicate the fictional creatures. Now, why, you say, would anybody talk about stuff like zombies? Well, they think it would be a good battle for them to use a basic model for zombie infection to illustrate what the outcome would be in the case of other diseases and pandemics and things like that. For instance, the H1N1 flu. They model a zombie attack using these biological assumptions, but their analysis revealed a strategy of capturing or curing the zombies would only put off the inevitable. Unless we hit them and hit them hard, they're going to get us first. But they can translate that information mathematically to deal with other diseases and things. So they're not actually Well, yeah, they are studying zombies. What am I saying? That's exactly
art.
What they're doing.
Yeah, life imitates art like an old horror film, huh?
Yeah, exactly.
No matter how you get them, they're going to get you anyway.
He's holding the Vincent Price Memorial Chair at Harvard.
That's great. Well, we really got away from it today, but I'll tell you. Let's get into this stuff really quickly. I want to get into a couple of things that are happening this weekend that can help you out. And, of course, this is a perfect segue, because if you need disability benefits, if you're having problems with your disability benefits, if you're out of work, the Pacific Gateway Workforce Investment Network, of which we're aligned here in Long Beach, is going to offer a no-cost disability workshop on August 26th. And they have them every fourth Wednesday of the month. This one's coming up from 1:30 to 3 o'clock. We'll put all of the information. It's on Atlantic Avenue in Long Beach. I'll give you the address on our website. But you can meet one-on-one, which I think is a great thing of this program, with a benefits specialist and learn how to use Ticket to Work, gain new skills, and find, this is important, disability-friendly employers. If you tend to want to work and can, there you go. And I'm telling you, this is a friend of mine. I'm going to bring this up now. And here, they've got a brand new CD coming out. Here it is. It's Conjunto Los Pochos with Dame Más Amor. These are friends of mine who are going to be previewing their new CD tomorrow night, Saturday, August 22nd, at Taste of Texas in Covina. $10 gets you a raffle, a whole dinner, and a concert.
Boy. Oh, that's awesome.
Wow. Yeah, and I'm telling you something. These guys rock if you're into this kind of music. LosPochos.com. We'll put that on our website, too. And
is that Covina or West Covina?
It's going to be in Covina. Taste of Texas on Citrus in Covina. And I will put the information for you online at LosPochos.com.
Is Pochos Spanish for Polish?
I can't say what it's Spanish for. No. A pocho. You don't know what a pocho is? It's somebody that lives...
That's what I sit on when I'm bored, you know.
Sort of a Mexican heritage guy, but grew up in the white side of town. That would be a pocho.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
okay.
There you go.
Well, so towns are far and few in between up here, and Oregon is getting ready to celebrate their 150th anniversary of statehood. So what they're doing this weekend, Old Redwood Stage Road Tour, is going to guide people on the same route that was taken by the old stagecoaches back in the day. So they've been planning this event for quite a while. The free 60-mile trip leaves from Elk Valley Casino, and then it's like an interpretive journey. So that ought to be a lot of fun. If you're anywhere between, I'd say Eureka and Crescent City, you'll want to check into that.
Okie dokie. And Tommy said you had one event everybody wants to go to?
Everybody will want to go to the, pardon me, Wings Over Camarillo.
Ooh.
It's an air show. Yeah.
Oh, I thought it was Buffalo Wings.
Anyway, there's all kinds of stuff going on, including a lot of military experimental aircraft and some vintage aircraft and some vintage pilots. And you can ask them what it was like, you know. And I'll tell you what it was like.
Those are
we
cool
knocked
beats.
Those German bastards out of the sky with nothing but determination and propellers. We didn't have jets in those days. Well, it might be something.
I'd love
like
to see them play World of Warcraft. It'd be very cool, actually, to watch an old vet play that. I think it'd be fun. Oh, well, the last thing today, we've got some great information. If they're looking to partner up with somebody, it's a book, new book that's out, and Jeff's got that.
Yeah, I mean, this is a book that it was, full disclosure, one of the co-authors is a friend of mine. Mm-hmm. Once again, the Homecast show disclosure, that doesn't change the interview. It just means she returns my call when I try to book the interview. We're talking about advice for women who are following their heart in matters of the heart. This new book is called Smart Girls Marry Money, How Women Have Been Duped into the Romantic Dream and How They're Paying for It. And that long mouthful of a title pretty much tells you what the book is arguing. It says that that a marriage or any kind of relationship is really an economic union, not just an affair of the heart. And the advice by Elizabeth Ford and her co-author Dr. Daniela Drake is that if women are not going into relationships with their head as well as their heart, thinking about it as an economic union and not just a union of love, then they're making a mistake. And she has some advice for us.
Most women
including,
are looking for,
make sure the one you're interested
soulmate.
In has health insurance.
Most women are looking for, you know, their soulmate, the one, this Prince Charming figure, and that is what they're pursuing with a fervor that it's pretty amazing. And I think that we find when we fall in love, it kind of makes us stupid. And sometimes we marry the wrong person because we're so wrapped up in the feelings that are associated with romantic love. And I think that's part of the reason why the divorce rate is, you know, right there around 50% right now. I'm not saying that love isn't part of marriage or that it shouldn't be part of marriage, but love is an economic partnership. And anyone who's been divorced can tell you that the divorce process is so much about economics, and it is ripping apart a corporation that is your family.
Right.
Dividing up assets, dividing up timeshare with children or pets, and selling homes and selling off assets. I mean, it doesn't seem like an economic partnership until it's time to dissolve it, in which time you really do realize how much is financial that is involved in marriage. Not saying don't fall in love, but not only fall in love. Like, love is not enough. It's not enough to carry you through.
Well, Elizabeth, I want to bring up just an example of real close friends of my parents. Married 60-some years, the gentleman passed away, and the wife didn't even know how to balance her own checkbook. My parents took her under their wing for many years to help her with those kinds of things. But how in the world would we be able to change the perception when people are young and hot and that's all they're thinking about?
Well, I think that's what the book is for, really, is to remind us that love is great and falling in love is great and love affairs are fun when you're young and hot. It doesn't mean you have to marry that person.
Ah.
Marriage needs to be a little more serious. You know, we're pro-marriage in this book. We want marriages that last, that really are until death do us part, which is like a joke these days. You know, you say this during the ceremony, and when you fall in love and are getting married, you never think it's going to happen to you. You never think that the love is going to end or that the passion will fade. But invariably it does. You know, science shows us that that passionate feeling lasts, the intensity of it, of romantic love, passion, lasts at top 24 months.
Wow!
So, Elizabeth, are we talking about the dreaded word prenup?
This crazy feeling that you have isn't going to last forever. So it needs to evolve into something else. And, you know, Will Smith, I read that he went into marriage counseling when they were still in the throes of the very beginning of their relationship because wow. He thought, what better time to talk about some of these issues, finance and do we want to have children and all that, when you're still crazy about each other and so much less prone to having a fight about it. And I thought that was genius.
Yeah.
Wow.
And another thing is not be afraid to talk about money. You know, we'll talk about which sexual position we prefer. We're afraid to talk about do we like to invest in mutual funds. Like, oh, that's sort of off bounds. And you're a gold digger if you ask a guy what are his financial plans. Women are like, I'm not going to sign a prenup. It's so unromantic. Well, guess what? You both get to secure things that are important to you in a prenup, no matter who may be financially more stable at the time that you're entering a relationship. You know, it's a two-way contract, and it certainly doesn't have to be a romance killer. It can just be something that you have as a way of stating what's important to you. What are your financial values?
What's been the biggest surprise for you as people have reacted to the book?
The biggest surprise for me is that I was expecting a lot of haters. I was expecting us to be really attacked and say, I had fear about, oh, you're setting women back or you're setting your daughters back. And we did get that at the very beginning before people had read the book. But from actual readers, I've gotten so much support about, wow, you know, some of this stuff really does make sense. And a lot of women being very supportive about just opening up the debate of letting it be talked about, of letting the word gold digger be said with a smile and a smirk instead of with this sort of moral authority and disparagement. You know, we tried to make it a joke. You know, we call it the GDI, the gold digging imperative, because we wanted to get people's attention with the title and the idea, but really just to spark debate. And I feel like people are willing to talk about it.
Elizabeth Ford, who is the co-author with Dr. Daniela Drake of the book Smart Girls Marry Money, How Women Have Been Duped into the Romantic Dream and How They're Paying for It. By the way, the title seems like the advice is only for women, but Elizabeth says her advice applies equally to men, straight or gay. And the book is available on Amazon.com.
Very, very cool. We love her.
Oh, she made so much sense.
She did. I really liked it. That was really cool. Thank you so much, Elizabeth. Thanks, everybody, for today. And Tom Politico's got the story about We Weed Up. Nobody seems to know what that means.
I just wondered if maybe it was something that his daughter said, like something that the kids are, you know, a term that the kids are using or something.
Maybe. We'll have to find out. We'll research that story.
However, I think if they're going around saying wee-weed up, they ought to be grounded, you know.
Yeah.
Let them stay in the White House while Mom and Dad go up to, you know, Martha's Vineyard.
Right now in North Korea, Comrade Dear Leader is trying to translate, what does he mean, all weed up?
It's cold.
Hope he doesn't think we're going to actually, you know, pay any attention to any nuclear treaties we sign with him.
Okay.
Here we are, as always, both sides of the coin represented in, wow.
Someone stop us.
Yeah, please, we'll put you, this will stop us.
And now, Murphy's Law.
This is kind of short, and yet I think it's very deep and profound. Remember this, poverty is big business.
Oh, yeah. How true.
Bend your mind around that one this weekend. Hey, baby, take care. Everybody have a great weekend. Call somebody you love and watch both sides. Watch Fox and then MSNBC and watch your brain rattle back and forth. I love you.
Oh, meow.
Free healthcare.
Oh, my God, I think Eddie's a Democrat.